Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts in chapter 1, and it's another in the series of the ministry of Christ here in this world while he was here. And we spent a message on the pre-incarnate Christ. That was all in Christmas time. And then the early years of Christ, ages 1 through 12. And then the ministry years of Christ, age 30 through 33 years of age, filled with miracles and sinless life, of course, all the way through. Then the resurrected earthly ministry of Christ. And then what Jesus is doing today. And I want to preach this morning on what Jesus is going to be doing in the very near future. And obviously, can't preach it all. No way, no how. On Wednesday nights, starting a series on eschatology on Wednesday nights, March the 1st. So you might want to come and bring a tablet and your Bible and soak up all that you can at that time. And then, of course, Jimmy DeYoung is going to be with us the third week of April. I'm looking forward to that. I have questions, things I want to ask him. In Acts and chapter 1, and I haven't exhausted this. No way. But I want to get down to verse 11 because I'm preaching on the soon return of Christ. I'll let you be seated for a moment and then I'll have you stand. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I told you about this. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And that was Jewish thinking. They had no idea, no concept of the church. They were looking to the millennial kingdom. That day's coming. And it's coming very soon. It could be 7 years from today, where Jesus sits upon the throne of David and rules in this world for 1,000 years. Verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is us right now. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Let's stand together. I want to read the next verse. Everybody standing? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, I'm just a sinner man. That's all I am. I'm thankful for the grace of God, the mercy of God. I pray, Father, that you'd anoint me this morning, you'd enable me, and you'd empower me to preach the message that you're coming again. I ask, God, that you would penetrate even the coldest heart that thinks they know it all and they've heard it all before. That heart will be the most surprised when the trumpet sounds. God, would you take over in this message this morning? And I pray this in Jesus' name, for souls to be saved and Christians to get right with you. Amen. You may be seated. Received an email this week from a man who was on our website. Don't know who he was, just a first name. And he called me by name and said, you know, on your website, on your doctrinal statement, it says nothing about eschatology. What do you guys believe? And I texted him back or emailed him back and said, you know, this may be hard to believe, but I never saw that there before. It's in other statements that we have, but it is not. And I said, listen, we'll fix it. It'll get on there. But you need to know we are premillennial and we are pre-tribulational. And we believe in the imminent, physical, visible rapture of the church, the return of Christ, and how it could happen at any time. We as a people of God and You talk about the sweetest words of comfort. This is it. For the child of God that is walking in the light, Jesus is coming soon. That's the sweetest words of comfort. There's nothing like that. I mean, Jesus is coming soon. I'll prove that to you in a moment here in this message. But you know, those aren't words of comfort for the carnal Christian who is self-serving and self-promoting. That's not and living a life where their heart is far from God. Those aren't words of comforts. Comfort. It's like the difference between dad is home and dad is home. You know, just a complete difference. You know, you know when you were young and you weren't doing the things you were supposed to be doing, he gave you a list of things. And when he got home, man, it was, oh no, this is not good. And that's the way it's going to be for a lot of children of God, because they're not serving God in this life in which God had given them. And everybody's thinking, oh, it's not today. Oh, it's not this week. No, it probably wasn't going to be this year. I got lots of time. Man, I'm just going to go on living. I believe this with all of my being. I'm just a mortal man, and I could be mistaken, but you need to know this. I believe with all my mortal being, with all of my being, that Jesus is coming very, very soon. That the trumpet of God is going to sound. Man, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And the study of last things, the doctrine of eschatology, the most mentioned topic in the New Testament is the return of Christ. It is a major doctrine. One in every 25 verses of New Testament scripture proclaims that Jesus is coming back to this earth. 23 of the 27 New Testament books tell us that Jesus is going to return. It was the first message, we just read it, after the ascension. And it is the last message of the book of Revelation. That's the next event in the prophetical calendar. Jesus is coming again. It tells us that perilous times shall come. Before I get into the hot and heavy doctrine here, right out of the Word of God. Paul warned Timothy that in the last days, they'd be dangerous days. Spiritual battles like the world has never known. Perilous times will come. People will be deceived, thinking they're following God when they're not following God. People will full of them. And he talks about the entertainment and how we need to be entertained. And that's what life is all about. And we drift away from the truth. We live in a world where world finances are in question for most of the world, even though it's going good right now in America, it could turn on a dime, and wars and rumors of wars. And we live just like it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus said, that's the way it was going to be before I return. People will be marriage and giving in marriage and divorce and everything going right and left and immorality in all directions and people calling evil good and good evil and the perversion that's going on. We got a man running for high office that is an open sodomite. And it's just terrible. Whoever thought that this would come, that's not hate speech. God loves the sodomites. He wants them born again. He wants to change them and make them right. But the fact is, our culture is just kind of embracing everything. Do you know that 3,000 babies were murdered yesterday in America? 3,000 babies. You say, oh, that's kind of harsh. No, I'll tell you what's harsh. The abortionist that's killing those babies. If you have enough courage, just take a look at a video of a baby being aborted. See the baby scream. See the baby wiggle to get away from the tools of the abortionist. Man, God must look down from heaven and say, what is going on among my people? And you know, it's accepted. That's the point. It's accepted. It's like it's normal. We can't do anything about it. Yes, we can. We can occupy till Jesus comes, like he asked us to do. In 1 Thessalonians and Sodom and Gomorrah, going back to that again, you know, a sodomite could look at the culture that we live in today and say, hey, that's just like home. I could live there. That's just like Sodom used to be. That's just like Gomorrah was. Jesus said, you know when that happens, I'm coming soon. But that's not the big message this morning. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, not in the dark, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died in Christ, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And understand this. You know, our brethren that we have buried that have gone by way of the grave, they're not in the grave. They're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day, those bodies that we put in the grave, in the ground, they're going to be resurrected as well. And the Thessalonians, they've been hearing some false things about this. And he said, don't be ignorant of this. Those that have died in Christ, they're going to be resurrected again. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What he's saying is, he's going to say it in the next few verses, I'm coming again. I'm going to return to the earth. And our brethren that we have taken to the cemetery and we put down in the ground and buried them in the ground, you understand they're already with the Lord, but I'm not going to forget those bodies. Those bodies are going to be resurrected. Those bodies are going to receive a glorified, resurrected body. They'll be raptured first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Say, preacher, you believe in the rapture? That sounds like a fairy tale. That is Bible doctrine. If you don't believe in the rapture, maybe you don't believe in the Jesus that saves sinners. That is a Bible doctrine. He is going to return. It says here in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord, here's the order, for the Lord himself, a visible, physical return of Christ. The two angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus whom you've seen leave, he's going to come in soul-like manner. He's going to come in the clouds. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, seized. The Greek word there is harpazo. It means to snatch. You say, oh, I've read the Bible, and the word rapture is nowhere in the Bible. No, but the doctrine of the rapture. The word rapture is a Latin word that's a more modern word used to describe it. The doctrine of the rapture is all over the New Testament. It's coming again. Here it is right here. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. By the way, the word Sunday school isn't in the Bible either. Name some sins. Vaping, that's not in the Bible. You know, I mean, come on, grow up a little bit. The doctrine, the teachings are there. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. Jesus is coming again. Go to Revelation in chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I said we were a pre-tribulational people. We believe, by that, what I mean by that is, we at Fundamental Baptist Church, along with our forefathers and many and those in the mainstream of Bible fundamentalism, believe that Jesus is going to come before the tribulation. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we have been delivered from the wrath to come. In Revelation 3:10, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us unto the wrath to come. In the book of Revelation, I'll be covering this on Wednesday night, starting in March, John is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And in verses, in chapters 1 through 3, the church is mentioned 19 times. The very word church is mentioned 19 times. Starting with the rapture in chapter 4 in verse 1 and 2 and 3, the church is never mentioned again in the book of Revelation until you get all the way back to Armageddon. This never mentioned again because we're not here. Instead, Israel is mentioned. Old Testament symbolism is mentioned. Old Testament words are used all through that because that's the time of Jacob's trouble. We are not going to be here during the tribulation. John is called up into heaven. Chapter 4, verse 1, he's a member of the church. It's a beautiful picture. He isn't going through what he's writing about. So he's caught up into heaven. Look at verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Hey, where have we heard that language before? The trump of God. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now here we read of the four angels flying around the throne, and the 24 elders, and how they worship God, and holy, holy, holy. The angel said, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And the 24 elders fall down before him, verse 10, and him that sat on the throne, and worship, verse 11, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and worship. Were created. I don't know why I read that last verse because it isn't going along the same line of thought as what I'm preaching other than to say this. You that are living for this world and the things of this world, they're not forever. That's so foolish. Man, you're clinging to things that don't matter. You know, maybe as a people, we get misguided sometimes. And we think things are important that aren't important. We'll swallow a camel and strain at a gnat. What is real important here? And of course, the important thing is to exalt Jesus and to help people understand who he is. Not my little thing, all right? The return of Christ. There are no signs for the rapture. Take your Bible, turn to Titus and chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus and chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul was looking for the glorious return of Christ in his day. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. Jesus is that nothing has to happen before the rapture. If you're in Sunday school this morning, you heard line upon line, precept upon precept, and I don't spoon feed anybody. I want you to, if you'll come to all the services, you'll get Bible doctrine. The fact is, the temple doesn't have to be rebuilt before Jesus comes. The fact is, the man of sin does not have to be revealed, the Antichrist, before Jesus comes. The truth is, those things all happen in the first 3.5 years. The fact is, Paul was looking for Jesus' return in his day. I want you to know how short it is. The last days that Paul talks about theologically, that covers from the birth of the church until the rapture of the church. Those are the last days. That Paul was living in the last days. The Old Testament prophets, they didn't even see the church. The church was, you know, the time of the Gentiles. You got to be kidding. We who are not a people become a people. That was so beyond them. So Paul knew that he was living, even though it was 2,000 years ago, he was living in the last days in his day. You say, how do you know that the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, is going to be very soon? No signs. All the signs are for Israel. It's for the Jews. Matthew chapter 24. The book of Revelation, these things will all come to pass during the tribulation, but even though no man knows the day or the hour, we know we're in the last days for four reasons that I know of. Ezekiel chapter 37, would you turn back there, and verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. Israel is returning to the land. Those that are immigrating into the nation Israel, it's unbelievable. That little nation surrounded by 47 Muslim nations that want them dead. That little nation that experiences Scud attacks and rocket attacks. And you know, and everybody serves in the military. And they're not just hanging on, they're prospering. And God is blessing them. In Revelation, or Ezekiel chapter 37 says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Verse 3 says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Skip on down to verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you. He's going to say, I'm going to make you live again, all right? Skip on down, look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off of our parts. Verse 12 says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 14, in your own land. They're returning to the land. It's happening. It's a modern day miracle. Israel becomes a nation again in 1948. And now they're returning to the land. Now for you and for me, man, that's pretty much all of our lifetime. For most of us, all of our lifetime. And so we don't think of it as a, but you understand for hundreds of years, Israel wasn't a nation. So we're nowhere in the last days. Number two, that last generation. Matthew chapter 24. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look what it says in verse 32. Oh, I better get on the right page. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, this is Jesus speaking, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. So verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. That's interesting, because every Bible teacher, every Bible scholar, every theologian I know says that fig tree is referring to Israel. Because that's the context. And Jesus is prophesying concerning Israel. And we all know that Israel becomes a nation again in 1948. Radio Tel Aviv, it cracked out. Israel is home. Israel is back in the land. And it's been there hanging on by its fingernails for all of these years. And the Bible says in verse 34, the last part, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The big question is two things, if you look at it in context and know what the Bible says. What is a generation? And it says, shall not pass. Now, preachers over the years, in the last 25 years, have identified a generation as a lot of different things. The Bible says man will live 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. If man lives 70, you know, that'd be safe to say that's a generation. They used to say it was 40 years, it was 25 years, whatever it is. Is a generation? How many generations can live all at the same time? So there's kind of a big overlap there, but 70 is 70 years. 70 years is the year 2018, and that has come and gone. But if by reason of strength, 80 years, that's 80 years. 1948 and 80 is 2028. Say, oh, we're pretty safe. I'm not setting a date, by the way. You're a fool if you set a date. Jesus said, no man knows. Nobody knows. All right? So I'm not setting a date. Don't, but I'm just telling you we're in the last days, the very last days. Say, 2028, man, I got 8 years yet. Wait a minute. 7 years of tribulation come out of that. That means 2021. You say, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour because he knows what we are and who we are. We'd all get right with God at the last moment. And you may be saying, well, I still got another year, but I guess I better get serious. I'm not saying it's going to be 2021. I'm not saying that. I don't know. But I do know Jesus said this. You can read the sky and know what's going to happen. And you can look around you and you can see what is happening. So I know that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm quickly running out of time. Revelation chapter 3. Mike Bailey? Would you check in the foyer there? All right. Revelation and chapter 3, verse 14, the Laodicean church, the perilous times that will come. Before I read this, we are living in very exciting days. We are, but it's a war. It's a battle, isn't it? Verse 14 says, and under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. What does the word Laodicean mean? Anybody know? People rule. We're so self, just full of ourselves, and man, I'll get my way, no matter what, that kind of thing. So he says, under the angel of the church, this is a bad church, by the way, this is the last church before Jesus comes, and under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, and the faithful, and the true witness, and the beginning, and the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is the disgusting church. You understand that? The disgusting church. There is nothing more disgusting than a plate of cold religion. This is the church that is self-promoting, self-serving. This is the church that is blame-shifting. This is the church that isn't doing evangelism. They're just that people that are just in it for themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Does that describe much of the people of God today in the churches where they worship and the organization of the church where they worship? They're not interested in, they don't reach the lost. They give God lip service. Notice what it says about the Laodicean church. Christ isn't there, even though they claim he's there. He's on the outside knocking, and he wants to come in. And that's an invitation, the final invitation. He said, you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. But the Laodicean church does not belong to God. Is that pretty? That kind of describes the day and age in which we live. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That's it. That's the year 2020. That's the 21st century. That's where we're living right now. Do you know how many, man, we aren't everything. We haven't arrived. We're not doing everything right. I'm not saying that. But do you know how many churches are just clubs? They're just little social gatherings. Oh, it's so sad. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And some of our sister churches that one time were on fire for God, they haven't had a person walk the aisle in the church for 20 years. And it's all part of the days in which we're living. And Jesus is coming soon. There's one more thing. 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. This is a theory. This is, all right, I'm preaching Bible doctrine, but I want you to understand, all right? The earth is, geologists will tell you this, Bible geologists will tell you this, and the Bible rehearses this as well. The earth is about 5,000-6,000 years old. It's a young earth. Book of Job's the oldest book, and the book of Job is almost 5,000 years, oldest book, almost 5,000 years of age. I believe in a young earth, and there's Christian science, people, scientists, creationists, they believe it as well, and I just believe God created the earth the way it is, and so on and so forth, all right? But the fact is, it is a young earth. How many days did God create the earth? How many days did it take him to create the universe and the earth and all that in it is? How many days? Six days, right? What do you do on the seventh day? He rested. Look what it says here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Again, self-serving. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I'm sure that somebody, somewhere on a radio or a computer is hearing me preach, say, oh yeah, I've heard all that before. Jesus is coming. Blah, 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 blah. All right. Scoffers. Verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, second coming, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. First of all, the only reason Jesus hasn't come so far is he's a long-suffering God. He's waiting for more people to get saved. And that's why the Philadelphia church is still here, preaching the gospel, being that light of the world, and doing their very best to get sinners to the Savior, populating heaven by the grace of God. That is why we're here. But he said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. This isn't a stretch. 6 days to create the earth, the world. 6 days. The earth, 4,000 years Old Testament, 2,000 years of New Testament. There's 6,000 years. Day as 1,000 years. 6 days, 6,000 years. Seventh day, day of rest, millennial kingdom, when Jesus sits upon the rod of iron, or the throne of David, and rules with a rod of iron, and there'll be peace in the world because the Prince of Peace will be ruling from Jerusalem. That's that 1,000-year kingdom right there. So 6,000, 4,000 old, 2,000 new, 1,000 millennial kingdom. Man, that leaves about that much time for the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're there. We are there. We are in the last days. So I want to say it one more time before we have the altar call this morning. Jesus is coming very, very soon. I got big plans for this church, but maybe none of it is going to come to pass, because Jesus could come today. He could come this afternoon. You need to be right with God. You need to be in the service of the King. He is coming very, very soon. I don't expect to die. That may sound arrogant. But I don't, every once in a while my heart flips, you know, when I got the pain. What was that? Oh, you know. Yeah. But I don't, and that kind of make my blood pressure go up a little bit, but I don't expect to die. I'm expecting to be raptured. And those of you that are you know, 1948, you're in your 70s now. Man, you may not die either. You understand that? And you're a young person. You hear from a 62-year-old man, all right? I'm going to be 63 in another month. You are young in your 70s. You know, 70, right? Yeah. Jesus is coming very soon. He's coming again. Amen. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to take a trip. We're going to be with our Jesus in the clouds. And Paul referred to that as the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not born again, you're left behind. You'll be here during this tribulation, and you don't want that.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.